First, though, we were speaking with Councillor Seamus Cussie Fitzgerald. He's a member of Kerry County Council, of course, and he's also a member of the board of Uad Ros na Gaeltacht. We were talking about the story of the presentation they had had from the Waterford Gaeltacht, where they were talking about the need to do something quick to keep the survival of the Gaeltacht going, because young people who spoke the Irish language, who wanted to settle down, wanted to raise Irish language speaking families, could not afford houses in their area. They were blaming holiday homes for damaging the prospect of keeping the Gaeltacht area alive. James Cussie Fitzgerald made the point that provisions had been put into the county development plan for an Irish language test to try and help with people getting planning or people being able to buy houses in specific areas of the county to keep the language going. That's on the housing side of it and keeping the Gaeltacht going. But what about the idea and the issue of getting more people to speak Irish? Mary Tobin is with me on the line, and she contacted us on hearing that story about her own experience of learning Irish. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry, how are you? But first of all, can I just start with offering my condolences to both of the families that have lost both of their loved ones?
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, very important. And thanks so much for that, Mary. And our thoughts are with those families this morning. Now, we did the interview regarding the decline in young people being able to, I suppose, outbid holiday homes in Gaeltacht areas. Now, you can speak Irish, but you put it down to the way it was taught. Tell me about it.
I'm probably in the same boat as a lot of people in Ireland of my age. I'll be 50 now, 29, but I'll be actually 50 next week. And I think it was the way we were taught in school as opposed to the way it's taught now, and the possibilities of it even being taught in a better way. Of how we were taught Irish, and I put it in a text to you, and I think Professor rang me back about it.
How were you taught Irish, Mary?
Well, we were taught with fear, I suppose. In one way, we were small children. We were in primary school, and you were given a page of Irish to learn off during the night, and then you were brought into the classroom and stood around, and Mara, Sean, August, Rusty were put up on the felt board, and you were pointed at, and you were to fall in where the other person stopped. Do you know what? The teacher would point you. And if you didn't get it right, you actually were punished. And I think what it bred into us was, as small children, a fear and a negative view of our own beautiful language. And I think that might have been, it's probably not the case with everyone's experience of it, but I think any of the people that I would have gone to school with or of my age group, it was kind of like that. It was a case of you were punished if you didn't get it right.
Yeah.
It
was all tests, it was all examinations, it was all, I suppose, if you struggled at all or you were trying to learn, it was fear-based. So.
Well, even like that, we were able to read it, but it wasn't, the love of it wasn't there. So as soon as you were given the opportunity not to have to do it, you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, if you talk to anyone of our age, kind of, they go, oh, Irish, oh, pig, oh, all this, because of the way that a lot of it was taught and the curriculum itself. Now, the teachers probably, I think it's different these days. Now, I'm going to say that I'm from Fianna, and the school over, I my nephews would come in here to me in the kitchen some days, and they're doing their lessons, and the way that they don't have a fear of Irish. They actually have a lovely standard of Irish, but it's not, the fear factor has gone out of it. But I just think that even in, and like that, my own kids came from Fianna and went into the Gaeltacht then Tralee, and their standards of Irish was exceptionally high when they came in from an English-speaking school. We were thinking maybe they wouldn't be able to cut the mustard, but they're actually fine, and it's a great school because they gradually bring you into the Irish if you're not from an Irish-speaking school.
Yeah,
it was a lovely school to attend, but my thoughts were like, as a child, we're a child when they're learning to talk, a baby isn't expected to spell and write. A baby learns its language, and from there it can communicate, and it naturally follows on. Then if you love something, you want to know more about it. And I think that if it was more of a nurturing of the Irish language, you'd see a lot more people in Ireland actually speaking our beautiful, beautiful language.
Yeah, a baby speaks it first, speaks the language first, and then the rest follows on from that. So you saw and you heard your own children speaking the language and speaking it really well. And I suppose that make you feel like you missed out?
It does, yes. It does. It was absolutely, it's beautiful to hear someone converse with each other in their own in the language that you feel kind of that you're only starting around the peripherals of. And it was lovely to watch the lads. They could break into it, and it was special. And it's so descriptive. Our language is a beautiful thing.
Mm.
And I fully support the preservation of it in Gaeltacht areas, because it's such a beautiful language. It's one of the oldest languages in Europe.
Yeah.
Yet we're the one country in Europe that has lost its language faster than any other. No other country in Europe has lost it faster than Ireland has.
And
down to colonisation, of course. And the first thing that when you're a colonizer, the first thing they always go for is language, because language is such a strong, identical part of a person's soul and their history. So the first thing you do, like as a colonizer, like the Japanese went into the museums when they wanted to take over surrounding countries back in the early part of the 1900s, they went into British museums and they sent in their top men and they went in to watch how the British were so good at colonization. And what they found out is the first thing you do is you take away a person's language.
You ban the language, and you ban the identity and you try and assimilate. Mary,
we were made ashamed of our own language as well by ourselves, even ourselves made ourselves ashamed of it.
Mary, what's the answer now? And let's say, look, you're talking about Gaelscoils there and the way it's taught now has changed, thankfully. But in terms of your generation, or our generation, shall we say, anyone in their 40s or their 50s, is there a perception problem there? With going back maybe and trying to pick it up, that you've a perception, a negative attitude, how does that get changed, do you think?
Well, my perception of it was firstly just seeing how my own children were able to, the descriptive of it, the descriptions that they had words that, like for instance, we'll say, skihan ladder, that was a leather wing. And in English, it's a beautiful description of something, but in English, it's only the word bat. But in Irish, it describes what it is. It was all these beautiful words, and I just had no idea what they were. Now, I still can't speak Irish, Jerry, and I'm not going to pretend I can, but I would love to do it. And I just think that inside in our soul, it's like if you listen to the Uilleann pipes, or if you're anywhere in the world, and especially, I suppose, I travelled away, I lived away from Ireland for years, and I think you just realise that other countries have their languages, and you haven't got yours, and that even here in Ireland, where lots of other nationalities have moved to Ireland, and fair play to them, they speak their own language, and they're keeping their culture, and yet ours is in complete decline. And it's going to be a minority language very shortly in its own country, which is a bit daft, really, but it's actually very sad. So I was listening to Cossie Fitzgerald the last day, and I was thinking, I would fully be behind where you have, I suppose, the places now where holiday homes are being bought are beautiful, where once upon a time, in Cromwell's time, where they were probably regarded the poorest of places, all up the west coast, down around south, out on the Atlantic, facing the wilds, and these people are—they're the last stronghold of a very ancient language, something that's deep inside in us, that it's unique to Ireland.
Needs to be protected.
It's preserved, and if we lose our language, we're just as bland as everyone else.
We certainly are. Mary, listen, we're going to leave it there, but thanks a million for giving us your view on that and your thoughts on it, on hearing that piece last week on the programme. That's Mary Tobin there.